You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Rich Galen, former head of GOPAC. He also served as press secretary for former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, as well as then-Senator Dan Quayle. He now writes the three-times-a-week column, Mullings. Rich, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Well, your column today is one that really strikes at the heart of what's going on in the Republican Party right now. It's, A, what to do about the Supreme Court nomination of Sonia Sotomayor, and secondly, what to do about a party that is clearly reeling after two consecutive election defeats in pretty significant ways. First of all, you say it's probably not a good idea for the party to mount a really vigorous vocal effort against Sonia Sotomayor unless she self-destructs up there on Capitol Hill, largely because it's a liberal that she's replacing and because they can't stop her anyway. Why do you believe that's the right tack to take here?
I think if you look at her history, she's got a lot of things going for her. Nobody's perfect. Actually, John Roberts is probably as close to the perfect nominee as anybody will ever see in our lifetime. But she's a pretty good nominee. She's a aggressive jurist. She was first appointed by George H.W. Bush and then appointed to the higher court by Bill Clinton. So she has a lot of judicial experience. And as you said, it is a liberal replacing a liberal, which means that it will not change the nature of the court. It will still largely be 5-4, liberal versus conservative versus liberal. And so it just seems to me that other than a bunch of people both on the right and the left raising a lot of money to create an issue, this is probably not the right time to shoot off a whole lot of ammunition in terms of this particular nominee. A bigger deal would be if one of the five conservative members of the court were to retire or resign or, God forbid, die during the presidency of Barack Obama, then that would change the nature of the court because it would be replacing a conservative with a liberal.
Why the significance of whether it's a liberal replacing a liberal or a liberal versus a conservative? If she's well-qualified, that's one thing. But there are those on the right who say Ruth Bader Ginsburg replaced Byron White, who clearly became more conservative over time. And Democrats have made no secret about giving GOP nominees a hard time, regardless of the type of justice that they're replacing. Why such a big focus on the type of justice that's being replaced?
Well, because it doesn't change the nature of the court. It'll still be 5-4. And, I mean, the fact that, you know, Senator Hillary Clinton, Senator Barack Obama, and Senator Joe Biden all voted against Judge John Roberts to be Chief Justice of the United States. And he was perfectly well qualified, and they said that he was qualified. They voted against him because they said they weren't sure how he was going to decide future cases. Well, nobody knows how you're going to decide future cases, but I'm not sure that you need to repeat bad behavior just because somebody else had bad behavior. The fact is that in the Ed Gillespie, who was the former head of the RNC and former counselor to George W. Bush, wrote a terrific essay in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning, reminding everybody that in the good old days, like 10 years ago, you know, Republicans generally supported Clinton's nominees because if they got through the Judiciary Committee, then they were probably qualified to sit on the court. And Republicans, you know, we say this all the time. Elections have consequences. One of the consequences of a presidential election is the sitting president gets to nominate the Supreme Court justices.
Rich, you also spend part of your column talking about how if the Republican Party doesn't handle this well, it could perpetuate the problems they've had the last two election cycles. What do you see as potential consequences of not handling this well, and what do you make right now of the fierce fight over which direction this party's headed?
Well, that is the great question that a lot of us are wrestling with. I am a political professional. I am not a conservative. I'm not a liberal. I mean, I tend to be conservative because that's the way I think. But I'm not a professional conservative. I'm a professional politician. And my job has been over my unbelievably long career, because I'm not that good at it. My job has been to get Republicans elected to the House and Senate, whether they were moderates, conservatives, or somewhere in between. And the only vote that mattered to me ever was the first vote that they cast, either for majority leader if they were going into the U.S. Senate, or for Speaker of the House if they're going to the House of Representatives, because the majority party controls every committee, every subcommittee, and about 70% of the staff. And the point I was trying to make this morning was that we shouldn't be in a position where we have to choose a party of Rush Limbaugh or Dick Cheney against a party of Colin Powell or Tom Ridge. We should be trying to figure out how to design a party that will allow all four of those men to stand on a platform that's big enough, broad enough, deep enough to support all of those views. Because if you want to be a majority party, the edges, by definition, have to get farther and farther apart.
Last 60 seconds, Rich. Most would say that at least in recent elections, conservatives, Republicans did best, 1994, 1980. What did they do then that made the tent as big as possible? What was the crux of it all?
Let's take the 1994 campaign that I'm very familiar with. What Newt Gingrich did then was he invited independents in. He pointed out what was wrong within a very liberal Democratic Party, a party that was rife with self-dealing and corruption and had been in power for 40 years. But he didn't say, either you believe my way or you can't play. He said, if you believe their way, then go their way. If you don't believe their way, then we're open to everybody coming in, and we ended up taking control of the House. It was a completely different argument than saying you have to toe a conservative ideological line.
Rich, very fascinating look back. I appreciate the insight, and thanks very much for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Rich Galen is the author of the three times a week internet column Mullings.com. He's a former press secretary for Newt Gingrich and Dan Quayle, and he's also the former head of GOPAC. This is Dateline Washington.